Kerry Faulkner, welcome to Fremantle Shipping News.
Thank you so much. I'm really enjoying the opportunity to talk about my photographs. I could talk about my photographs forever, so you'll have to stop me if I've said too much.
Well, we've got about half an hour, so that might affect that willingness. And this is the first time, and Rita should take this into mind, that we've used a Zoom meeting to conduct this interview and the recording. But the photographs that are going to be seen by the people listening to this are various, and they're all in beautiful, dynamic, if I can put it that way, robust even colour. But I want you just to talk about some, if not all, of these photographs. I'm looking here at one which is sort of, you'd think, taken late in the afternoon, early evening, sun dropping, and it looks like a dentist is working on a young boy down at the beach. But tell us about that.
So that was taken in Varanasi, and it's actually a barber. And the barber is shaving the boy. The boy is on the steps of the Ghats in Varanasi, and that was a trip I did to India in February 2018 with Seng Ma, who's a well-known Fremantle photographer. And it was an amazing trip. Absolutely blew my mind. India blew my mind. There's people everywhere, and life is lived on the streets. Life is lived on the streets. And for a photographer, a street photographer or a photojournalist, that is just the perfect place to be, because people aren't like us. They're not tucked behind their doors doing their cooking or their bathing. They're doing it on the streets. Now, so it was amazing.
Yeah. Now, am I right in thinking, as we go through the photos, there's a few Indian photographs from that visit?
Yes. There's a few sprinkled through there, my favourites. I've selected my favourite photographs rather than those that I think are particularly technically good or anything else. So there's a few of my India photos from that trip.
Yeah. Well, right next to that, it looks like a lovely old man sitting cross-legged. What's that one?
Yes. So that was in Jodhpur, and that was toward the end of the trip. And I was just having a final wander around the streets. It was quite early in the morning. And this wonderful man was just sitting there before everything got going, and he was having his chai, and he was just sitting there contemplating the state of the world in this really interesting environment that's got a bike hanging on one wall. It's got these people behind him who are walking and talking. It's got this religious icon, this religious picture in the background. So it's not just this wonderful man that's posed sitting there, but there's so much happening in the background still. And I just gave him a nod and a smile as if to say, you know, is it okay if I take your photo? And he went, you know, he gave me a nod and a smile to say that was okay. And instead of posing, he just, sometimes when you ask people if you can take their photo, they'll strike a pose. He didn't. He just continued doing what he was doing.
Well, that was my next question as we get into this style of street photography in particular.
Yes.
Are there any ethics surrounding this? Are you obliged to seek permission from a subject, or does it depend on how close you get or some other circumstances?
That's a really good question. There's lots of ethical debates around street photography. So some of the debates are around photographing the homeless. People will say it's unethical to photograph the homeless. Some people will say it's not ethical unless you ask permission. So I don't agree with either of those. And I'll tell you why, because it sounds quite brutal. So legally, if it happens in the public, then you can photograph it. So I there's nothing legally to stop me. So ethically and morally, if people tell me, if I take the photo and people tell me they would have preferred me not to have taken the photo, then I won't use it. I'll just delete it. I abide by what they've asked me to do. But if you ask someone for a photograph before you take it, it changes the person, it changes the scene, it changes their reaction. So the photograph is different. I have had very few problems with people having objection to me taking a photograph. And I have this, I really look up to the work of Suzanne Stein, and she's an American photographer, and she's photographed a lot on the streets of Los Angeles. Now, these are really hardcore street photographs of destitute, derelict places, destitute people at their most vulnerable, that's the lowest they'll go in life, quite possibly. And they love her. They love the way that she approaches them. And I love the way she does it too, because Suzanne Stein doesn't talk about people as subcultures or subjects. They're people that she likes to photograph, and she can see that they're people, and there are positives as well as negatives in their lives, and she builds relationships with people. And I really admire her. And I think, you know, sometimes when I go out photographing, I'll kind of dive straight in and I'll just go up to people and photograph. And some of my friends, I think, maybe are a little taken back by the fact that I just do dive straight in. I don't kind of hang back or ask permission. But it never occurs to me to. It just occurs to me that that's a great subject for a photograph, and I really want to capture it.
Well, the next photograph I want to take you to, I think you may have had the permission and indeed put them in position, and that's the one here of the boy who looks like he's about to dive into some water.
His eyes in
the air and a woman on the right holding a bathing cap. So what were you trying to achieve there?
That's not posed. None of these photographs are
fantastic.
Yeah, that just happened at the beach. And they were, I believe, at Leighton Beach, and they were getting ready for a big ocean swim. And I could see this boy warming up his arms. He was doing windmills. And I could see this lady walking from the ocean past him. And I just waited until they almost came together. And it doesn't follow any compositional rules, but I love it anyway.
Maybe not a dissimilar vein, or at least not a dissimilar setting, because it's got water in it and boys in bathers. You've got the one like low, middle and high, which is just superb. There's so much going on in that, and I'm feeling nervous about the boy at the top. So how did that come about?
Yeah, so I love hanging out at jetties and you know, places where there's lots of activity and lots of colour and lots of noise and that sort of thing. And this was a moment at Bicton Jetty, and the boys were just getting ready to dive. It's something that happens every summer afternoon that you go down there, but it's just this beautiful arrangement of the boys. And, of course, the thing that makes it, I think, is the expression on the boy at the bottom.
Yes.
Yeah, he's kind of, has a perplexed sort of look. So I do really love that that picture for that reason. Yes.
Well, I used to occasionally get along, because I happened to be in town, to the Wyndham Racing Meet or the Kununurra Rodeo and so on. What's going on in this photo here? Looks like a couple of cowboys, but I'm not sure they are.
They are. That's at the rodeo. And I think it was at Harvey Dickerson's rodeo down south, which is a huge event. And I love going to I love going to rodeos and events like that, and capturing these moments where you see people being themselves. So this lady was obviously she was a runner in the cow, you know, for want of a better word, the cowgirl, best cowgirl competition. And she's just hanging around with her friends, having a potato, and you can see the little potatoes in the background with their lovely big smiles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
We'll go through a couple of others reasonably quickly because of time, and we'll come back to others and spend a bit more time. But
yes.
Just near the boys, there's, I think, a mother watching her daughter coming out of the water, and then over here it looks like a whole lot of people who may well be on the Rotto swim.
Yes.
Below it, it looks like someone in a fantastic state of repose trying to hold on to a kite.
Yes.
So what about those three?
So I love the lady in the red goggles. She's doing an ocean swim, and I was just using a technique there. It was a bit of a pan, and the elements came together. I think there's a lot of elements of luck in this sort of street photography, you know. She just turned her head at the right time, and she had these wonderful red goggles, and it's beautifully blurred. I really like that technique as well. And with the mother and daughter playing in the ocean, you can see that the little girl is blurred as well. And I like that about her because it shows a little bit of her activity, a little bit of her her having this fun time. And so she's blurred as she's jumping into the water. I love that picture. And they were just beautiful. They were so interacting so beautifully in the ocean, and you could see this kind of closeness and this kind of bond between them as they just played in the water. It was really beautiful. And of course the girl is looking at the kites. The girl bending over backwards literally is she's kind of dancing under the kites at a kite festival. And just captured her at the right moment before she fell. She's on her wall.
Now there's a pair of legs here in boots and tattoos that I think we have to, because of demand, talk about next.
What
was that, and what was that about?
That was in Northbridge, just outside the art gallery in the cultural centre. There was a girl sitting there with her friends, and she was getting ready to catch the train. And I was under a bit of pressure because this was for a particular photography event, and it was where you had to capture, process and exhibit a photograph in 8 hours. So you had to create a piece of artwork in 8 hours. And I'm a street photographer, you know. It's very hit and miss. And then I saw this girl sitting there with these wonderful legs against this bright pink background, and you can see that her legs are very scratched and damaged. And then you've got the artwork of the ink, and then these wonderful big black heavy boots with the band-aids just peeking out.
Do you ever engage your subjects? In that case, for example, did you say, do you mind if I do this?
Yes, I did in that case because I was quite obvious. I might have taken the photo first, and she might have been a bit curious, and I said, is it okay if I keep taking photos? And she said yes. She was quite happy for me to do that.
Imagine
so I did.
Quite proud of that.
Yeah. She was more than happy. I spent quite some time there.
What about the photograph near to it? With all sorts of red and leather and
yes, I love a good protest. That's one of my favourite things to photograph. I love photographing things where there's lots of energy, where there's lots of passion, and where the photograph makes me feel something. If it makes me feel something, then I think it's been successful. And I feel these guys' energy. You can see that they're right into it. They're shouting. They're waving their flags. He's sitting on someone's shoulders. It's full of their political passion to me.
There's a lot of, always has been a lot of protesting going on. It depends on the times. But we're living in these COVID times. We saw recently the people who want restrictions to be totally removed out of a sense of freedom. Sometimes reflect a quite right-wing view of how the world should work. At the same time, quite left-wing demonstrations happening. Sometimes both groups can be demonstrating about the same issues. But as a photographer, do you bring any biases to bear? Do you decide not to photograph some and yes to others?
No, I don't. And I do have friends who won't photograph, for example, a rodeo because they believe that it's cruel to animals, or they won't photograph a race meeting. I quite like photographing at race meetings, particularly around fashions in the fields. So I don't bring that to bear. I just think about the images, and are the images going to be strong images? If people want to use the images that I take at those things for a political purpose, then I'm happy for them, to do that. But no, and sometimes I actually feel quite guilty. Sometimes I feel that maybe I should have more of the courage of my convictions not to photograph those things, but I'm a little bit too focused on
doing it.
And the potential for getting a really good image is stronger, I guess, than the moral consequences. Now I feel bad.
I think probably, I don't know if it's the same occasion, but there's a photograph with all of the police standing in a cordon to, on the face of it, hold people back, although there's a whole lot of lovely, happy kids playing behind their backs.
Yeah, I came across that image again just going through my files the other day, and I thought, wow, that's a really powerful image. And I fell in love with it because of that juxtaposition between the potential for, the police and protesters to interact and clash, and then these kids and fairies and playing in the background. That's why I really like it. I think it might have been the same protest. I'm not actually quite sure if it was.
Now, near to it are a couple of photos that look plainly to have been taken in India. Was that during that visit?
Yes, that's during that visit. And that's the ladies. They're sitting at the back of a tourist bus, and they had just brought out all their food and were sharing it in a big group of people on the ground. And I took that photo there.
And what about, and where is this one down here? This
is beautiful. So that's at the Taj Mahal. And it's sort of a different take on the Taj Mahal. I remember I saw these ladies walking and I had to actually run to get them before they passed this pivotal spot. So I actually ran and chased them to get the photo.
Now we've got three photos where people are dressed in red, and I'm thinking they are from a similar or the same occasion or not.
They're from a protest as well, the Red Rebels. Red Rebels are a theatrical component of the Extinction Rebellion protests. Yeah. And I love photographing them. They are so unusual. They are so elegant, and they provide such a strong contrast, to the police on their horses, to wherever they are, the man on his phone at the beach. They're just so theatrical and colourful, and I do love photographing them.
Now, if we go back up something a little different, but still a bit of red, there's a young woman with flaming red hair with what looks like a Jeffrey Smart photorealist painting behind it.
But she's at the drag races. So they're doing, that's the burnout competition. So all that all that fog in the background is burning rubber. It was a very strong smell. And we came away with black rubber stuck to our faces. And I quite like it though.
Now, there's a couple of photographs here that really take my fancy. And this one
is
right here with a man or a woman, a person with a white t-shirt and something like a hydra or something with arms wrapped around it many times. What happened there?
That was World Singing Day, which happens in Forest Chase annually, and people just go and sing. And there was this group of people that at the end, they just came together in this massive, big hug. And there must have been 20, 25 people. And, of course, this pattern of their arms interlocking and their hands, I thought, was really interesting. I wished I got in a slightly better position to show it, but you don't know what's going to unfold, so you can't really position yourself to be in the right place at the right time necessarily.
Now, we could have put the two together, but there's a photo with a girl with her arms in the air in red bathers and another person with her as the wave comes in.
Yes.
How did that one come about?
So that was at the beach with my friend who's a landscape photographer. And these guys, we're just playing in the rock pool, and I wanted to try it with a slow shutter speed so that you could see the movement of the ocean was quite blurred. But the mum is pretty much in focus, and then the child who's also moving is jumping up and down is blurred as well. So it's just a bit of an experimentation to try and get a bit out of my comfort zone to experiment with something a little bit different to get some blur.
Well, you're obviously happy with the result because of
your style. Yeah.
Now, another water job. We've got a walker, which I can recognise because my mother uses one, and two old people, I think, finding their way into the briny.
Yeah, I think that makes me feel it moves me, and it moves a lot of other people given the reaction to it, this little story, because the older couple is sort of, the man is quite tall and he's supporting the woman who is obviously the one who needs the walker. You've got their little shoes under the walker, and you've got activity out on the ocean. You know, you've got people swimming and boating. It's a really quiet scene, and I think that you have to kind of spend a little time on it to appreciate it. And I actually like images that you do have to spend a little bit of time on to appreciate.
It absolutely does that. Do you know where? Can you recall now where you took that photo?
Yeah, it's at Coogee, and I was actually photographing the ocean races, the swimmers.
Yes.
And I had finished and I was walking away, and I just turned around and I saw this quiet little scene. So I just went back and managed to capture it.
Yeah, that really is touching. And while we're with the water, this time under it, there's a photo that's been sneaked in up here.
Yeah.
Where people are swimming underwater. Yeah. How did you come to make that? Were you under the water?
Yeah, so I actually just bought myself a camera that I can use under the water. It's a Leica, quite an unusual camera. And that was underneath Coogee Jetty. So I'm experimenting with underwater images. I was quite happy with that one.
It really does have a tremendous energy and strength to it. People almost look like walking on air, but they're actually under the water.
Now, I do like it. Yeah.
Then there's this almost very scene with a glow coming from a central place. It could be one of the mythical scenes from a Tim Winton novel. But what's going on here?
So this is a bush dwarf. So it's a big music festival that goes for a couple of days, right out in the middle of the bush, lots of dancing, lots of drugs. And so this was just some people who were at that. The light, the glow is coming from the back of an old ambulance, which has been converted into us, somewhere for them to sleep. Not many people like that image when I posted it, but I really like it, so I've included it.
Now, there's only a couple for us to finish, and we're doing well at the time, but I think second last one is like a black rabbit woman here.
Yeah, it's actually a young...
It's not a self-portrait, is it?
No. No, you wouldn't squeeze me into that outfit. What would you say it was, Catwoman?
It looks a lot like, as I recall, a rabbit woman, but Well, his big ears up at the top. So where
he's like a Playboy bunny almost. But well, not
that's a very good point. And I think most men might look at it that way. How did you come to take it?
That was Pride, the Pride Parade this year. And I took quite a few photos there. And he, you know, struck this great pose for me with his hands behind his. It took a bit of encouragement from the people around him. He was quite a little bit shy, a little bit timid, and then they kind of said, no, you know, they said, this is your time to shine. And then he just eased into it, struck this pose.
I did it so well. I just assumed it was a very attractive young woman in the outfit. But it goes
it's a young perfectly, man.
Perfectly to prove it was the Pride Parade. Mm. Now, to nearly finished, but we've got another, what almost looks like a droving scene in the middle of the outback here with people with hats on, but I've got a feeling it's not.
No, it's the burnout competition.
The same one?
It was the year before, actually. That was the first year I went. And this, you can see that it's really, that's right on the edge of where they're doing their burnout. It's thick with rubber, it's thick with smoke, and you've got the sun just going down and it's creating this effect through the people and their hats.
Now, the last two, this is where I get the privilege of, or put myself in a difficult position, of telling the truth that I really finished up just loving for some reason.
Yep.
And I don't know which one to finish on, but the two are the girl, I think, looks like she's holding the string of a kite. And this one, it looks like a version of the MCG where people are playing cricket.
Yeah. The cricket, the blue cricket is came fourth in the top five it was for the Australian Photography Awards.
Oh, well, I'm pleased to hear that.
Yeah, and that was taken in Jodhpur as well, you know, among the last days of that trip. Just luck, you know. It's got a boy striking a wonderful pose with his back to us. It's got that lovely leading line that takes you up to the boy cricketers, and it's got that blue, you know, which is really beautiful. Right place, right time.
I really love it. And tell us about the girl, the balloon, or the knot.
Yeah, Fuji Beach. I think it was on Australia Day. Loads of people on the beach, and she was... You can see she's got the most elegant hands I have ever seen. And she just looked so elegant on the beach in amongst all this zinc cream and, you know, skippy bathers. And she just stood out for some reason as being so elegant for such a young girl. And I was able to get that photograph of her.
Mm. Now, we've only literally got a minute, I think, to finish before... Mm. Something shuts us down. And as I said at the very outset, people will learn more about you from the introduction in words. And thank you for talking about these. But what is it that drives you, has driven you, continues to drive you in your photographic work in particular?
That's a really good question. That is a really good question. I think it's partly because for a very long time I wasn't able to take as many photographs as I would like to. I have a daughter with a disability, and a lot of my time and energy was devoted to caring for her for a very long time. So having, you know, picked up the camera again and rediscovered this passion, I just feel that, and having had it taken away, I guess, for that long period of time, it's just something now that I truly, truly appreciate. And it's also just capturing life in all its messiness and, you know, interesting people doing interesting things.
Are you ever trying to do anything more than capture the moment with its intrinsic interest? Are you ever trying, to go back to some of my earlier questions, to preach, I suppose? If photographers to preach.
No, I don't want to preach, and I don't want to judge, and I don't want other people to preach or judge. based on the photos. I just really want to capture it, and I want to capture it in a way where there's a story. I think the biggest compliment that someone can give me is that the images tell a story. It's a lot of people can take a pretty picture, but not everyone can take a picture that tells a story. And I like to think that my pictures tell a story.
Well, Kerry, they absolutely do. Thank you very much for sharing with the Shipping News your explanations, in a sense, but more than that, the poetic way you've introduced us all to your photographs, and may you keep on doing it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.